So a pot belonging to a goy, and which might be cooking noodles right now. And they use the same pot for fleishchik and milchik at different times. So when you are stoking the fire, you're causing a form of bishul. Whatever's absorbed in the walls of the pot might be cooking now. There might be milk and meat, but you both cooked it in the last 24 hours. And now you're causing them to move around. And
this is a perfectly clean pot, right? There's not like pieces that are in there.
It's cooking pasta inside. The outside is clean. There's no traces of milk or meat to the naked eye, to the human eye.
And you can transgress possible color in that.
Well, it's a form, and at the end it says the Shach says these are all just chumas. For various reasons. One of them is, well, we don't know that there's Basav Chalav there, but also it's not. But yes, there is a possibility to be considered Bishul Basav Chalav even in place.
And in this case, yeah, you don't have a pot anywhere. It's not the Yisrael's cooking at all. That's something like scary. There's literally just a goy's pot, and you're just happy to be messing with the pot, helping the fire. And his pot is going to transgress. What's the color? The
subject.
Some people are on Zoom.
There are people on Zoom, yeah.
What? It works, right?
Okay, good morning. I understand where you're holding around Sivav now in Pezayin, and I was told to focus on the Kivega and Sivav, and something later in Sukhidal. So just give me an idea. I mean, we should like learn through all the Sifim in between, briefly, and or pick and choose. Okay, thank you. Okay, so in Sivav, the Mechaber first gives a number of instances or situations, I should say, of bishul basav chalav, which are not, one is not chayiv on min ha-Torah. So it's a ma'ushan, if a person is not using regular cooking, and not cooking a pot of milk and dropping meat into it, or vice versa, but it's cooking through steam. V'amavushal b'chami tveria. Or smoke, I didn't mean steam, I mean smoke, I should say. Smoked. V'amavushal b'chami tveria. Different discussions exactly what, you know, what these cases are, but they're not, it's not the typical, not the classical situation of basa b'chalav. Ain lokin alav, there's no malchus, which implies at least that it's not a it's not the what the pasuk is referring to. There is a possibility that it still might be a deraisa because ain lokin alav, but it's a question whether it's just ain lokin, whether it's in the shach says avali sura mi'ika. The question is whether we're talking pashas that means nisura deraisa. Normally by basa b'chalav, I think you learned already, there is no isur bishul if you're dealing with some. There's no durabonins on bishul other than some cases of marisayin, but. So simply, it could mean that there's a deraisa, but not the it's not the case of the pasuk that's chayv malchus. V'chein avashel basuk b'mechalav. Mechalav is described later by the mechaber in Se'if Ches, exactly what constitutes mechalav. He says mechalav hayu achas she'osim agvin, after cheese is made. I'm looking at the lashon of mechaber Se'if Ches, mevashlem hanisyubi. After the cheese is made, then they take the, is that called the whey? Okay, the ho'ochel tzaf milamala, v'lanishabo elamayim ba'alma. What's the liquid that's left after that second round is called mechalas. So when it cooks with that, cooks meat in that, o b'chalav mesa, chalav mesa, as the shach points out, explains here, is chalav which was produced from the animal, from the udders of the animal after achar misa. In other words, the animal wasn't milked when it was alive, but rather after the animal was shechted, the milk was extracted from the udders of the animal. Okay, so o b'chalav zachar, or the milk of a male. So this simply understood means a male animal, as opposed to, because the Ramah is about to mention, the beginning of this Ramah is going to say Chalav Zachar is not called Chalav at all. So they distinguish between Chalav Zachar from an animal and Chalav Zachar from a human. That Chalav Zachar from a human, being a male human, that would now not be Chalav at all. There would be no Isser Basar B'Chalav at all. Whereas from an animal, there is this, there is a level of Isser. O Shabishal Dam B'Chalav, or if one cooks dam, and rather than the basar, you don't take the basar of the animal, but the blood of the animal, and cook that with milk, with the milk of the animal. This is all talking, of course, that the source of the animal, of the source rather of the milk, is a kosher animal, a behema tahara, because you already learned that if a behema tameya, even if you take the milk mamish, you milk a behema tameya, that's not the yisad derais. The Torah only asked lo savashal gedi b'chalevimo. It has to be chalevimo of a gedi, or a kosher, you know, another type of animal, the kosher species. So it means all these cases, the milk is coming from a kosher species, but it's one of these circumstances where it's not the typical milk, or it's not the typical form of cooking. So in all these cases, or in this last case, it's not a question of the milk, but it's a question of the meat being atypical. It's not meat, it's blood. So the din is potter. Potter for the cooking.
Isn't it like you're having this deraisa of eating blood, right?
Yes, but... Right, so far just talked about cooking. It says, o shabishel dam b'chalav. So no issa deraisa, no issa at all on cooking blood. Maybe you'll make your patreif, but it's not us to cook it. What's us to cook is only basar b'chalav. The milk, yes, it's at least on a certain madrega. It's not the you know, derisa, but yes. There's a question about the, let's discuss later about the milk that comes from the stomach, that's extracted from the stomach. What, you know, that's the difference. Well, here we're talking about pshuta shadav. We're talking about that it came from the udders of the animal, and the animal was already shechted before, so that's not called. It has to be chalev imo of a animal that's roy to be a mother. Once it's shechted, it's not roy to be a mother. So it's not milk deraisa. It's not the milk deraisa, but it's still
that cooking wouldn't be considered
with what, with this milk. Not deraisa, yes, not deraisa. I mean, so at least not, again, at least potter. It's a shaila whether it's, you know, again, what this lashon means. There's a discussion whether it's us at deraisa, but potter from malchus, like the lashon at the beginning, or if it's only derabanan, but it's definitely not the din of you know, what the Torah talked about, los vashak di b'chalivima, where a person's chayv malchus for eating it or for cooking it, or for, at least it's an issa deraisa for cooking it, let's say. Okay. Yeah, there's a discussion here. Some of the chodim want to say this putter is mutter. There isn't necessarily a complete agreement in all these various cases. They might not all be on the same level, but they're all things that that at least pashat according to Shulchan Aruch shouldn't be done. Ve'in lokan al achilaso mishum basim b'chalot. Anybody ate, if you ate one of these things, also there would not be malchus for eating basar b'chalot. Now, of course, there'll be some of them are usher for eating, like was just mentioned. Dam is of course usher to eat. But if you look, if the Shach in Sif Kantes Vav, the Shach points out where it says in Lokan Achilas Mishum Basa B'Cholav Kolashen is that because of a Rambam Umash B'Daitu the Mishum Basa B'Cholav who the in Lokan Achilaso. There's no Malkus for Basa B'Cholav Hamishum Dam Lokan Achilaso Afal Pi Shabishlo Disfirle Dam Shabishlo Overlov. Now this is a its own very big shaila, because whether once dam is cooked, even the dam of an animal which is a chi of deraisa for eating. There are many that hold it's only chayv deraisa if it's raw dam, but once it's dam shebishlo, dam that was cooked, then it's it is not usur min haTorah. And the lashon of the Rambam, whoever says the Shach, is not mashma that way. The Rambam says you're not lokan al chilaso, or at least the mashmos of the Rambam is not lokan mishum baser b'chalav, but you're lokan because of mashma. You are lokan because of dam. Says the Shach, mi yonan kaimel under dam shebishlo or shemalchu eino lemi derabanan. So there's a famous trivia question that emerges from this concept, that how could you have a case, just to make sure you get straight the question, how could you have a case where you cook something in a, you cook an iser in a kli rishon, and you eat it and you're not chayev. And if you cook the same iser in a kli sheni and you eat it, you are chayev. See, normally a kli rishon bishul has to be in a kli rishon. Kli sheni already we hold as kli sheni is not mevashel. Kli sheni we're machmir on by Shabbos we're machmir drabon. It looks like bishul. When it comes to basa b'cholav, it's a whole shaila whether what the status of, I don't know if you probably didn't have it yet. You'll come across it later. What the status of something cooked in a kli sheni? Are we machmir at all with the basa b'cholav and kli sheni? But certainly kli rishon is more chomer. There's no shayla. Kli rishon is deraisa. And so the question is, though, how could you have a case, you cook an iser in a kli rishon and you eat it, you're not chayiv. You cook the same iser in a kli sheni and you are chayiv. And the answer is dam. You take dam from an animal and you cook it in a kli rishon. So now it's according to many posts, like the Shach just said, is dam shebishlo. Dam shebishlo is only asim midrabbanan. So you're not chayiv for malchus feeding it. Whereas if you cook in a kli sheni ain't a mevashel. It's not called cooked. You didn't cook it. It's like eating raw blood. So it's not called bishul yichayev. I think the Prima Gadim said some of the earlier chronim point out this. It's like a trick question. But the Shach is telling us that the lashon of the Mechaber seems to imply, the way the Rambam says, that there might be malchus for eating the dam, but in lokan achlas mishum basa b'chalav. But Lamai says we don't hold that way. We hold that non kamalam. We hold differently. That there's no issa deraisa on dam shebishlo altogether. So of course it's midrabbanan, but it's not usher midraisa. Say that again. In case of suffek, there would be a suffek derabbanan. Besides the nafkamina of Malchus, you mean to say nafkamina for us? Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, right. Sometimes, so, yes.
One thing they use dam for is the coagulating agent. It has the same effect as gelatin. Some places use it as a coagulating agent in wine. To collect impurities.
And it's possible there'd be some left in which is mamash not bottle?
I don't know. I'm just like, is it just a habit?
Yeah, but yes.
Something that happened, maybe it's not done in Jewish wine. Well, therefore, the wine is not the awesome.
Right. Yes. It would. Yeah. If any time you take a piece. even though one of the most basic tenets in a kosher kitchen is that you can't eat meat before it's salted, but the truth is that if you took a piece of meat, totally kosher meat, kosher animal, kosher shechita, and you never salted it, and you dropped it in a pot of water and cooked it and served it, you of course you're not allowed to eat it, but you would not be over in the Sederaisa. You know, because it's Dam Shabishlo, it's not Aser Min HaTorah. So it's not, again, not something recommended to do. Definitely Vesed Rabbanan, but it's so Mamela, if cases of Suffolk, there would be room to be Mekel, and like a regular rule of Suffolk Rabbanan Lakula. Okay, the Ramah continues, Hagava Chalav Zachar, Limikri Chalav Klal. So some explain that means Chalav Zachar that comes from a human being. Sorry?
But
there are Isurim. It says Marasayan, right? And you're not allowed to, do the Chatchila. So here it's not, if it's from a male, it's not called Chalav at all.
Why don't you have the same
Marasayan
on Chalav
Zachar? Why don't you have the
same?
Well, I don't know if Chazal will go there, Maris Ayin, on something like that, which is, but at least it's 1 second. He's saying Chalav Zachar, it's not called Chalav Chai. He's saying, why is it worse than Chalav Shkedim?
That,
well, you can say it is worse than Chalav. Right, so I'm saying, so Chalav Zachar, that's not Chalav Zachar. I don't know that. Right, but the question is, why the lashon of that in under Chalav Klal might have given. In other words, it's not an inherent issur derabbanan. There might be a marasayim, then you'd have to rectify it through, methods that are used to rectify. There's a shaila you probably discussed.
Isn't an issur derabbanan either, without.
Right, but Chalav Zachar of an animal is. From a male animal, it is an issur derabbanan. And that's what we're saying, from a male, a human male, it's not an issur derabbanan. Yeah, it might have the problems of marasayim that Chalav Isha has, or Chalav Shkedim has. But because he's contrasting it to the Mechaber. The Mechaber said the Chalav of a Zachar is Potter, implying that there is an issur derabbanan. So it's contrasting. That's only chalav zachar from an animal. But chalav zachar from a human is not an ekami. Maybe it's not lafuke of an isha, but we're not. That's not the discussion here. That was. It's just we're discussing chalav zachar. So it's contrasting one type of human zachar to animal zachar. There's some say we probably discussed it by so Shiloh, whether you're allowed to use shkedim. But it said if you're using chalav shkedim, you put shkedim next to it so people see. Question is, if you're using chalav isha, could you shkedim? So make people they'll think it's chalav shkedim, and it's not really. It's not chalav shkedim. It's chalav isha, but it's good enough. So I put up a hecker that it's not regular chalav. That's a question whether you could do that or not. Okay. That's what you're
learning?
Well, if you're putting up a sign, but if you're putting up a sign, then you could write on the sign what it really is. What it really is.
But I'm saying, but the point is that this is a sign. It's a, if you have a symbol, that's what it is. Why would it be a problem? Somebody
can
tell that it's not.
Yeah, right. Somebody, exactly right. Somebody could see through it and see that that's not chalav shkedim. It's clearly not chalav shkedim. You're trying to get away with an issur. So. Okay. Abul chalav mesu me chalav osur mamaychal kamol chalav atzma v'afil bebishul yesh lesser lechatchila. Okay, as we said. So now the Ramah continues. Now the Ramah now gives a list of activities that are not proper to do. That are usher to do, at least on a certain level. Yesh omrim, the usher lachtos ha'esh tachas kedesh levik rechavim, lefi shei mevashlim behem pa'amim chalav, pa'amim basar. V'amechat etachas kedesh alohem, bali dey bishul basar b'chalav. So some say, the Ramah says, some say that if you have a pot which belongs to a non-Jew, right now there's nothing in the pot but some kosher food, or water, but and it's cooking on the stove, and the guy asks you, can you do me a favor? I'm about to cook something. I see the coals are dying. Would you mind stoking the coals a little bit in order to keep it to keep them going and keep the water boiling or to allow the water to boil? So Yeshem, you shouldn't do that. Why not? We understand if to be a chayla that there's basa b'chalav in this pot, of course you can't do it, even though you're not eating it. But there's no basa b'chalav here. There's nothing. There's just water in this pot. So why can't you do that? So the reason you can't do that is because according to this daya, is that the pot itself may have absorbed both basar and chalav. I mean basar meaning kosher meat, perchance, or at least kosher from a kosher animal. Lavdafka if it's shechted, but animal meat from a kosher animal and milk from a kosher animal, the pot might have been used for those two items within the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And now, just a second, now it's balua in the pot. So when you stoke the coals, you are causing a form of cooking on the blias that are in the pot that are still nosing tam l'shvach. They're within 24 hours, so they're still considered that they have flavor, and we still have to reckon with them min ha-Torah. Memelas, so that's considered a form of cooking, a form of cooking, basal b'chalav. What did you say?
Well, is it a chesha, you don't have hetter and hetter, you have isser and isser. Why would a guy have isser, a hetter and hetter?
Well, I'm saying all it has to be really is from kosher species. He might use, I mean, if he lives in America. Well, who says do you need shchita? You need shchita to eat it, but in order to be over the issa basa b'chalav, what's the din? If you cook basa b'chalav of an animal that's kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted, nevela. Did you learn that? Is this issa basa b'chalav? I'm sorry. Chanan. Well, okay. Before you chanan, is it aser? Is that included in lo savash l'gnei b'chalevi meo or not? So there's a dalgar mevava. I think it's earlier that you may or may not have discussed. Okay, right. So he said. So dalgar mevava says a chiddush, but the din is that there's no question that if you eat such basa b'chalav, you're not over the issa basa b'chalav because ain't issa chal issa. It's already us or else nevela. The question is that is there an issa hana'ah? But bishul, there for sure is, right? There's the for sure an issa bishul because there's no issa bishul on regular meat and milk, regular meat alone, regular milk alone. There's no issa bishul. So even if it's on this meat which is from a shruta, there's no issa to cook it by itself. So memela to cook it with milk, you're over an issa bishul. So that's what everyone agrees, right? The only shal is hanoah. The shal is what is issa hanoah from it, because since there's no issa achila, so some hold I think Dagon Bar is like from a Rambam. There's no issa achila, there's no issa hanoah. But then others disagree with that. But it's definitely a sabbatical. So the guy very well might have used. You know.
Is the issue the basukhalav is now in the water, or is the issue the basukhalav is that's in the
chulin? I think even in the walls of the kli. Even.
Quick question: Are you kosher kelim even let's say in shishim can I get a kli if it's
ben yomo?
Ben yomo
from basur b'chalav.
Right.
It's very rare. We don't do that. I mean, because we always wait till ben yomo first of all, and very. You're talking about industrial level.
Industrial ovens, kashering for a simcha, you put a begam in the water.
Okay, so you just said it, but they're poking.
Okay, but that doesn't help the initial tam in the kli itself. It's not going to go back in. That is, as I thought, was solving for the fact that when it comes out, it's not basa b'chalav to go back in. This is a
begam
in the water.
But as soon as it gets to Yad Saletah's bow and it's Shaykh Bishul, it's already
going in first. That shot.
Well, it goes in at the same time. The same time that the stuff starts to move, it's already bolea perhaps. But before we try this, you're saying it's clear they'll do that. They'll take something that's mamash basa b'chalav that they have reason to believe or reason to suspect that it was used within 24 hours for basar and chalav. And like some goyish product, trefer product that uses basa b'chalav in the product, and they cook that, they produce that product.
Within the realm of possibility. Right. Yeah, going to hotels all the time. We stick with the water and we continue.
Got it. Okay, so Lamai says, you will see at the end, the it's brought that is going to say that at the end. So here, where you're not just being makel on that alone, you're not just being sick. Okay, we're not going to be chashish for it because we need to kashish for the simcha. You are, you know, in addition, including the pram. So maybe that would be, you know, maybe that's already enough to be. It's all against sveikas. I would imagine that many of the times that you're kashering, it's not, the metzias isn't such. You don't know. You said it's the realm of possibility, but the metzias is probably very often not that way, that they cook basav challah within 24 hours. So, okay. And even if they did, the worst, you know, or even if there's reason to be chashish for it, it's hamek alo hifsid, plus you add a pagama to the water, so some of the, you know, that combination would make it possible. Besides the fact, I mean, it could be the basav challah is batel in their product, or other, but that's part of the Ramah's Cheshman also. Okay, so now the Shaila here, though, is, if you saw the Kivega was pointed out, the Kivega asked Akasha, why Bechlal should it be Usser to do this? What are you trying to do? You're trying to stoke the coals, and because you want the fire to keep going. The guy asked you to do him a favor, or whatever the reason is. Maybe you're cooking something, maybe you're using this pot to cook something, not for eating, not for Achila, you just want to use the pot to cook something, to heat up some water for some other purpose. So that's your entire interest. We have absolutely no interest whatsoever in cooking basav challah. And we don't know that it's happening. So for Rabbi Kivager, it's Eino Mechavan Levashel. Rach Lachtos Be'esh. You have no kavana whatsoever to be Mevashel. All you want to do is Bichot to the Eish. Upsik Reisha Lohavi. Deshem Elo Bishol Avi Kachav Mekter Basav Agam Challah. In other words, we know the rule that normally davashena miskavein is mutter, right? In the Kala Torah Kula, in Shabbos, and in other molachs, we paskin like Reb Shimon, even like Rabbi Shabbos, that davashena miskavein is mutter. The only time it's us to do something which is a maisa isser is when you're mechaven for the isser, meaning to say, if I'm doing I want to do a certain activity, and there's a possibility that by what I'm doing, there's a possibility that some dika activity is going to result from my activity, from my actions. So as long as it's not my kavana, I'm allowed to do it. That's the classical case in the Gemara. One of the classical cases, there's an isser to make furrows in a field. It's an isser on Shabbos, isser of choresh, to make furrows in which you could theoretically plant seeds. And if I pull an item such as a bench, I pull an item which has legs that are that stick down to the ground. When you pull them in, they theoretically gets a little bit submerged into the dirt, and when I pull it, I'll be making furrows. So it depends. As long as that's not my, if that would be my kavana, my plow is not available, I don't want anybody to see I'm being mechal Shabbos. So I pull the bench in order to make furrows in the ground. I'd be chayav. It means a deraisa. Assuming it's not called a shinu, but that would be an isser of choresh and Shabbos. But if I do it, and that's even if the bench is not so super heavy that it's necessarily going to happen. It won't necessarily happen, but I'm hoping it'll happen. I want it to happen. That's my kavana. That's my intent. And if taka happens, then I'm chayiv. Whereas if it's not my intent, and it may or may not happen, this bench is moderate weight. It's not like I said, extremely heavy that it's for sure going to sink into the ground and for sure going to dig up the dirt. It may or may not. So the din is that I'm allowed to do it as long as I'm not mechaved for the furrows. That's not my. I want to get the bench from point A to point B. That's all. I don't want to make furrows in this ground. So the din is that I'm allowed to do it. Or let's say, as I said, there's a candle burning, and I'm in a rush. I want to run right by that candle. It may go out. It won't necessarily go out, but it may go out. But I have no kavan to put it. I'm not interested in putting the candle out. So the din is I'm allowed to run by it. If it goes out, it goes out. And it's not even say, oh, look what I did. I put out the candle. No, it did nothing. It was Dov Shein HaMaskavin. I wasn't Mechavin for it. And it wasn't necessarily going to happen. It's Mutter. Whereas if the Gemara says, Moder Reb Shimon B'Psik Reisha. If for sure it's going to happen, if I'm going to run with fast enough, or I create enough of a wind with my jacket, it's for sure going to go out. Or the bench is very heavy, and I know for sure if I pull this bench, although I'm not interested in these furrows, but I know for sure I'm going to end up making these furrows, then that's called a psik reisha. The Gemara says Moder Reb Shimon b'psik reisha. Psik reisha has in ke'ilu ha-mechavin. It's considered as if I had kavanah for that maaseh, because I knew for sure it's going to happen, and I I acted anyway. Now, and it's true by other areas of Shas, of Torah mitzvahs as well. There's a discussion, just one other case in other areas is by Shatnez. The Gemara talks about, are you allowed to wear a beged of Shatnez? It has, you know, it has Shatnez in the beged, but I'm wearing it not for warmth, not for protection. I'm wearing it just to I want to go through, the Gemara talks about going, I want to be able to pass through the tax collector. I don't want him to realize that I have this brand new garment that I have to pay taxes on, so I'll put it on, just it's my jacket, and he won't charge me taxes. I'll leave out the Chosh Mishpah part of it. So you're allowed to put it on even if it has if it has Shatnez in it. Or we're talking about a case where they tax the Jews unfairly. A guy will tax him 2%. If I see a Jew coming at 10%, so okay. And the 2% you'll send back in the mail. So the shaila is, are you allowed to wear it? So he said, I'm not mechavin for the warmth of to be protected, to get any benefit from the Shabbos. She says, well, is it a, so the shaila and the Rishonim, but isn't it a psik resha? I mean, you behecher, you're getting it. So that's a discussion there about, that's a case where a discussion of whether there's a psik resha or not. But if it's not a psik resha, so I'm doing an action which it will, I'm doing an activity, I'm doing, and that which will not necessarily violate any Isser Torah, although it may, but I'm not mechavin, I'm not interested in that, and it won't necessarily happen, I'm allowed to do it. So, even if I stoke the coal, even if it is, this pot turns out was blue with bas v'chol, the guy just got finished cooking bas v'chol an hour ago, and I stoke the coals, and it is bas v'chol, that's entirely not what I'm interested in doing, and I had no idea, it wasn't necessarily the case, so why isn't it motzei to do it?
I mean, can it be that when you're stoking the coals,
but that's, you're right, but that's only if there's basa b'chalav in the walls of the pot right now. Maybe there isn't. Maybe this pot wasn't used for basa b'chalav ever, or within the last 24 hours. So, in which case, I could stoke all day and I'm not doing anything wrong. That's why Rikki Vega and his kasha is looking at it like it's not a psik resha, because it's not necessarily going to result in cooking basa b'chalav.
So just to clarify, something like this is, something
in Reb Kiviger's kasha, it's equal. That's exactly what Reb Kiviger says. He says, "Oh, maybe the answer is that doesn't mean it's not a psik resha. Not a psik resha means it's based on the future. Meaning to say, my action may or may not cause furrows. This bench is, is a moderate weight, and we're talking about a bench where you can't, if you asked a physics expert, you wouldn't necessarily be able to say, well, let me weigh it, let me see the ground. And, I don't know, maybe he could figure out if it's going to make fire. But for the average person, under an average circumstance, it's a suffix. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. It might depend on how fast I pull it, how much strength I use, whatever it is. There's so many factors, but those factors are, those factors
are, what the ground is.
Yeah, right. And but the case is, though, the idea is that some of the factors at least are in the usid. They're depending on things which are not determined, not predetermined. It depends on how I do the miso, or the case of running, right? Case of running by. It's dependent. It's not dependent on anything that's already predetermined, predestined. It depends on how I end up running. If I run this close or this fast or whatever, what happens? My jacket ends up going this, that, like that. It will pull it out. If my jacket stays close to me, it won't pull it out. That's called not a psik resha. But something which is already, the facts are there. I just don't know the facts. There's either basa b'chalav in this pot or there isn't. I just don't know. So it says, perhaps that's not called a psik resha, because that's worse. I mean, that doesn't have the heter. I should say better. I'm better yet. That doesn't have the heter of a davashena miskavid, right? The heter of to say something is not a psik resha means that I'm not mechavin, means because it might not happen even right now. It's undetermined if it's going to happen or not, and it may not. I'm allowed to do it, but if it's really, the facts are all there, it's all determined. So, and in reality, there is basa b'chalav in this pot, so then it is a psik resha when you stoke it. You don't know that it's a psik resha, and you'll never know, because you don't know if there's basa b'chalav in this pot. But if in reality the metzias is there is already basa b'chalav in the walls of this pot, then by stoking the pot, it's a psik resha that I'm going to be over basa b'chalav. So he says maybe that's what we see from here, that psik resha, the heter of saying something is not a psik resha, the heter of darshan miskavid is only when it's dependent on factors in the osid rather than factors in the other. That's it. Sarach lomar, he says, the davka besavik de lahaba shema lo yehinasa kein b'maisa shalom. Kamo, gorikisi v'safsa, like the case we gave that's aval besafik de avar kamo hacha, then ze bevade, then the safik shema ein bablias bas b'chol. She says no ze mikim segresha. So that's his first step. Now this is really
it's still a doubt though, shema, right? That's why I don't, even in the case of what happened in the future, it's still. You still don't know there's going to be
bus. So why is it called secret? You just don't know. Shema here means you don't know, as opposed to a true case where Shema means we don't know if it'll happen.
It's a
big difference.
It might not actually happen.
You simply don't know because you have blinders on. You don't know
right.
The facts.
So it's different.
But whatever will happen, will happen.
It will not, in the case of. There's still a doubt whether he died to cook or not, no? Like,
no,
still
there's no doubt.
Either
will cause cooking, and there's both of them. You just happen not to know that. But there's nothing preventing what will happen from happening.
We're not possibly sure in your head.
Imagine you're a nubby and you know the future. In one case,
not
you
knowing
know
is kind of related
to
not having the kavana to take it, to have an advantage from it, to having a benefit from it.
Right, but what Kiveg is saying is that the fact that I don't have kavana is not going to save me if this circumstance, if this stage is already set, that this is for sure going to be an isser, it's for sure going to be a ma'ase isser. Even though I'm not mechavim for that ma'ase isser, because I have no knowledge of the ma'ase isser, but I know that it might be. I know that, where as opposed to a case where it's not a question of what might be, it's a question of what might occur, what might happen. That's where you have the heter.
When it's not for sure.
It's not for sure going to happen based on future facts. Right. Okay, so I just wanted to share with you.
It's not a question of whether you know. It's a question of whether it's actually
happened. If you do actually 10 times on a segregation, on a lack of segregation.
But if you pull a bench, right, that makes a furrow. You have no intent for it to become a furrow. And then somebody says, wow, what a great furrow. I'm going to put some seeds in, all I need to do is cover it up.
As long as you are in the chavim for that and it wasn't inevitable. If it wasn't, you still didn't do an issur. Didn't do an issue. It's the same thing. The guy, the candle got blown out when I rode by. The guy says, "Oh, great! Now I can go to sleep in this room. I don't have to worry about the candle disturbing." Yeah, so like, okay.
Whatever it is.
Okay. So if I just want to share with you the Mishnah Berurah in Ber Halacha and Siman Shin Tes Zayin discusses this issue. There's a Taz there would discuss this issue. The Taz discusses a case where there's a possibility that there are some small insects, some small flies in a room or in a box or whatever it is, and you're unaware, you're not sure if they're there or not. If you want to close the box, you want to seal the box. If you seal the box and there are flies inside, they're going to be trapped, and you're going to be over in Isser Tzeda. Whereas if there are no flies in there, obviously you did nothing wrong. Your intention is not to trap the flies. You have no interest in the flies whatsoever, but your interest is to close the box. So if you knew there were flies there, and it's closing the box would be also to do because of Seda. The question is, am I allowed to do it now? I don't know. Do we say that it's not a psik ratio because there may not be flies there? Or, again, it says, well, there may not be, but there either are or aren't. If there are, you don't know if there are. But if there are flies there, then you're definitely going to trap them by closing the box.
At least more similar to the case of the bench, would by a number of the cats, how what the ground is or whatnot.
Right.
So, yeah. The mitzvah is changing. The bus of color doesn't change. You just don't know the mitzvahs.
Well, by the flies, why is it changing?
Whether I'm in the box or not.
What?
I'm going in now. If you close it right now, you trap a fly. You close it in 2 seconds, you don't trap a fly.
Right now, you don't know the mitzvahs. Can you close the box? Can you not?
Right, and it is a determinable. No, the thing, the difference. I say it's a determinable metzias. It could be you could check it out. It doesn't take a scientist to figure out, measure the softness of the ground, measure the heat of the way.
That it's changing, or you just don't know. I mean, are flies going in and out, depending on.
Not necessarily. It doesn't. Not necessarily going in and out. They're just. I don't know. I know that sometimes sometimes I look in such boxes, I'll see flies. Sometimes I won't. Okay. So the Taz says. That the Bir Lach is in Shin Tes Zayin on Siv Gimel. He says, "Hinei Ataz Chidish Kan Davar Chadish Binim Sikereisha the Kishem the Heicha the Mesafkalon Im Yasah Israel Lo." We say it's called Davar Shem Meskavin when you're Mesupik about if the Is going to happen. So Kamo Kain Hacha. Kamo Kain. I'm excuse me. Kamo Kain Who Adin Heicha the Mesafkalon Im Yesh Isra Ba Ma'aser Shaoseh. For who ain't a miskaven la iser nami mutter b'shimin? Is this shaila whether there's an iser in this mice? There's nothing, no shaila about what's going to happen. For sure, it's going to happen. I'm just not aware of what's going to happen, and I'm not mecham for this. That's all school dav shen miskaven. So the Bir Halacha questions it, but at the end, he brings a raya. The end, he brings a raya to the Taz, skipping. Achei motzasi raya l'divrei Taz from a Ramban, in the third parak of Shabbos, where he's talking about the idea of pouring water. If a person pours cold water into a metal utensil that had just been heated up, it had just been very hot, and now you pulled cold water in, so there's a possibility of what's called mitzarif, that you could be causing the metal to solidify and be over an isser of making a keli. That at some point when the keli was originally made, until it goes through this process that it gets very hot and then it's suddenly cooled off, it still lacks some degree of final construction, final production, and it's not completely solid. And by pouring the cold in, you mitzarif it. So it says that you're allowed to do it, and you're not mechaving to be mitzarif. That's not what you're trying to do. V'hikshu already showed him hamodir b'shemim psik reisha. Why are you allowed to do it? It's a psik reisha that you're going to cause this to happen. V'tiritz Ramban. No, the reason why it's not aser shem lo higia litzirif. Afal pishin eschamim harbe shamay manu oso. V'shem mekvarn tzav. The Ramban says because we don't know. First of all, maybe this keli was already underwent sirif. Maybe it's already been mitztarif, and nothing new is going to happen. Or maybe it didn't get hot enough that it's going to cause tear. So you don't know what's going to happen when you pour in the water. It's determined, certainly, let's say, take the first suffix, whether tsirif happened already, whether this keli was already, you know, nitztarif or not. That's fact. That's history. It either happened or didn't happen. You're just not aware of it. Yet the Ramban says, therefore, you're allowed to pour it in. So because you don't know. Says the Berlach, Hare de Gam Bedavar Atali Besavik de Lashaavar. Even with the suffix, not what's going to happen, but what already happened to set the stage for this. Gam Ken Amrina Davashina Miskavin Mutter Kidivriyataz. So he says, and he comes out of Al Karcha Kidivriyataz Hanal. So Lamaisa, what Poskim say in these types of cases, when we're dealing with a Shail of an Issa Doraisa, we're not Mekel. We're not Mekel on a. This is what the Lushan that's used in Poskim calls a Suffek Psikresha, which when you first look at those words, you say that those words don't make sense. That's a inherent stira. Psikresha by definition means something that's vade going to happen. So how can you have a Suffek Psikresha? But this is the case. It's a Suffek Psikresha. It might vade happen. I don't know if it's going to vade happen. A regular case of non Psikresha is when it's not vade going to happen, meaning based on future factors. When it's a question based on past factors, then that's called it may vade happen, it may not vade happen, it's just a lack of my knowledge, so that's called a suffix psikresha. So lemaisa, the bottom line is, suppose can say by a suffix psikresha, by if you're dealing with something which if it does happen, it'll be an issa deraisa, then one should not do it. We're not somich, you know, lakula on the heter of suffix psikresha by a deraisa, but if it, at worst it'll be a derabanan, dealing with something which the possibility of only a derabanan, then on the then we are makel on a suffix psikresha, like which is the sheet of the Taz, which the Bir Halacha supports at the end. So we'd be makel by Yenisa the Rabbanim. So over here, the question is the Ruki Veger. One second. Yeah. Right, so Ruki Veger writes at the end. He discusses this Nekuda, and he writes in the middle something which it's a little bit hard for us to relate to this now, Baruch Hashem. But he says, "Kasavti zed." The reason why I brought up this whole topic that maybe it shouldn't be considered psik resha altogether, it should be considered davar shenem eskavin shelo yeh ha'isur chomer. People that would pass, you know, travel and pass through Gaisha inns and stuff, they ran into the situation often. I assume he meant is because you might be cooking. You're not going to be cooking in a guy. You can't cook your food in a treifa pot anyway. Even if it's no basa b'challah. But right, yeah, you have your pot on the same coals, the same stove, and you need to cook your food. It's like one of these help yourself places. You have a place to stay, but and they give you facilities to cook. So you have to stoke the coals in order to cook yours. And the guy has a pot there also. So I guess you'll make sure that there's no basa b'challah in the pot. You'll make sure of that visible. But what about the bleias again? So Ruki Veger raised this point, even though the Rama already said that it's only a shailabin, but maybe there was a situation, maybe Ruki Veger is helping even situations where you do know the guy cooked. A lot of the sfeikas are missing, but if you do know, then that won't help. Now the whole Ruki Veger is just that, you know, based on that's not a psik resha. So he felt, even after the Rama said it's only a chumer, Ruki Veger felt he wanted to make the shaila even less of a shaila. So That's the Nekuda Lamaisa that we're, as I said, we're Mekel when it's typically Machmer and Adaraisa, but Mekel and Adarabanan. That is the usual typical psak. Okay, so I'm going to have to pause here.
Thank you. I have a quick question. I am a partner in a business. 30% of us are Shomer Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos. The business pumps oil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Pumps oil meaning?
Oh, it's a oil business. So it pumps oil out of the ground.